I'm not going to lie. It makes me sad to know that's the last time I get to play that intro for like a year. It's going to be weird if I did it for like the U.S. Open. I got it. Oh, I'm so mad. I was enjoying the carnage out there. Give me all the carnage. And then they're like, no, there's water on there because we don't fucking know what squeegees are. Whatever, Augusta. Okay, you can kill every squirrel in the world, but you can't figure out a squeegee. Get the fuck out of here. What's up, new guy? I'm the Degenerate 75. I am a PGA DFS content creator who is pretty decent at DFS. If you like the cut of my jib, I encourage you to hang around for the next 20 minutes. And if you really like the cut of my jib, come check out all these new shows I do. Well, I say new shows. I got one new show. Of course, you're watching the Showdown Hoedown, which I do every Friday and Saturday night for Round 3 and Round 4 Showdown. Of course, I do week-long emergency stream every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Lord's time zone, a.k.a. kicking the nuts. I'm still trying to get that change. And I'm introducing a new show. It's not that new. I did it last week. But by popular demand, the people insist. A course preview show, because, you know, I wanted to do something different that nobody else is doing, so I thought, a course preview show, nobody's ever thought to do that. I'll also go over contest selection, pricing thoughts, so you can get your thoughts together. Look for that every Monday. Come check it out. I'm just going to continue to do content. The people demand it. All right, let's get to talking about some stuff, but before we do, remember, if you're here for pick'ems and you want to know some good over-unders that I will be betting for tomorrow, hang around until the end. I will give you some at Underdog, and you can use my code right there, Degenerate75, and they will give you a 100% match bonus on up to $100. Oh, yeah, and you get a free week on my website, so check that out, okay? I'll also give you four guys that were historically good round four scores for DFS. Lot to cover today, a lot of bitching to do. You know the show by now. All right, let's start where we got to start. You know, it's weather because they just delayed it. I mean, they didn't even delay it. They just canceled it for the day. They are done with round three. It ain't getting played today, Bob. They're going to go finish. It looked like, what, the leaders are only on hole seven right now, right? So, I mean, they've got a good 3 hours they got to go play in the morning. And then after that, I assume that they will probably regroup them, put them off in threes, off 1 and 10 again, probably have them out there by, what, 11 o'clock, maybe noon local time. So it's gonna be a lot of golf tomorrow. Okay, if you're a guy that wants to watch a lot of Masters golf on Sunday, good fucking news, brother. It's gonna be on all day. It's gonna start probably what 8 a.m. local time out there, and it will probably run almost till dark. If there's a playoff, you'll be seeing the guy holding the picture in the pitch dark, and I'll have to do the cameras to make where you can see him. Tomorrow, all right, good news is no rain tomorrow, okay? No chance of electricity, no chance of rain, so it appears. And so we're not going to have to worry about this going over to Monday. I'm almost for sure they will get this done tomorrow, okay? However, to say that tomorrow is going to be easy would be misleading at best because, as you can see, these winds are going to stay constant tomorrow. Once again, 12 to 14 miles an hour sustained with gusts up into the upper 20s almost the whole time. Very comparable to how it's playing today. And, you know, like some of these holes are just directly into the wind, and they're taking like three woods for their second shots into par fours. That's the kind of shit I do, not pros. So I'll let you know, this course is a bear right now. With it being cold tomorrow, it's only going to peak at 55 degrees. So you're going to have cold, windy conditions tomorrow. Yes, the course will probably be soft, but I don't think any softness can make this course gettable tomorrow. I expect that we're going to see a good, you know, two over scoring average tomorrow. Somebody will go shoot like a minus three or something like that, and that'll be like incredible. And just like we've seen today, you're going to see some dudes just implode. There are going to be a couple guys, you'll be like, oh, he's three over through four, not a good start. And then you'll look over a little bit later, he'll be like 10 over through eight. Be like, we call that quitting. We call that quitting. And there's going to be some guys quitting tomorrow. So long story short, if they're going to be going out in threes off 1 and 10 tomorrow, almost certainly we can't play a weather edge. A lot like we had today when they were going out in groups of three off 1 and 10. Basically, everybody's out on the course on the exact same time. So I don't think there's much of a weather edge to play. The only real weather edge to play is who plays well in the weather, right? If you want to play a narrative about guys who play well in sloppy conditions, I get on board with that, right? That's why Matthew Fitzpatrick was, you know, the guy I played the most today. Narrative City. Give me the guy that's good in tough conditions, right? If you want to play the win narrative, right? Victor Hovland's good in the win. You got to play him. He went to Oklahoma State. That's fine. Okay, that can be your narrative. But to say that, like, these guys are going to be out there when the course is good and these guys aren't, that ain't going to happen tomorrow. They're going to have to squeeze all this in. They will, I would say, 99% going to be going off threes, off 1 and 10, much like we saw today. And there is no weather edge when you do that. So go ahead and get that weather edge out of your mind and really focus on other things where you can gain an edge, such as, you know, ownership and shit like that, right? All right, let's talk a little bit about what we saw. We didn't get to see a lot today, but we definitely saw the course had some teeth, playing a cool 2.12 over par. The back was playing harder than the front, but that could also be because all the slap dicks started on the back and all the good guys started on the front, right? That could be part of the equation, Bob. So I don't think we should overdraw information from this because we didn't get a full round in, but we definitely could see how it was out there. And I think tomorrow is going to be comparable to this, maybe a hair easier because they won't have to deal with the moisture, but it's still going to be a struggle bus tomorrow. And why does that matter? Because anytime it's a struggle bus, this is what happens. People tend to gravitate towards this strategy. Well, there ain't going to be no birdies out there tomorrow, so I guess I'll just play the gas to get position points. Because if you don't know, new guy, in round four showdown, this is the only showdown that's like this, you get placement points for where you finish. And people really overvalue those points. Like, for instance, Brooks Koepka, if you put him in your lineup tomorrow, for round four, I'm going to assume he'll be holding the lead after round three. Your lineup will start with 13 points because he is the winner of the contest, right? But that is saying where he is starting. It is not saying where he's going to finish. So if Brooks Koepka finishes second, he'll drop down to 9 or 10 points, right? Or third or whatever, right? And so you got to, people overrate these position points. And I'm not saying not to factor them in at all. They do have a place, okay? They do have a place. But I'm just telling you, look at the math here, man. This is the points. First place gets 13 bonus points. So that's nice. If Brooks Koepka wins this tournament, he'll get his normal points for his pars, his birdies, all of that. Plus he will get 13 additional points on top of that. But here's where I really want to challenge you to think, okay? Almost everybody that's going to play tomorrow is going to finish in the top 50. There's barely more than 50 guys that made the cut. So almost everybody gets a guaranteed half point. You're like, half point's nothing. Well, okay, you take that half a point and you add two birdies to it, you were basically all the way to Brooks Koepka. So that means anybody in the field outscores Brooks Koepka by two birdies tomorrow, they've just outscored the guy who's probably going to be, I would guess, 45 or 50% owned chalk tomorrow, okay? All they got to do is pick up two birdies. And if you were watching Brooks Koepka today, that motherfather ain't playing for birdies. He is throwing it to the center of every green. He is playing super under control. He's two-putting everything, and he's just getting out with par, 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 par. Okay, is he playing incredible? Yes, but he's playing incredible major-level golf. He is not playing incredible, I want to go win this donkey dick a DraftKings contest, okay? He's not going to get you seven birdies tomorrow. That I fucking promise you. So you need to weigh that into your equation. What is more important to you? A guy that's going to get these position points that's playing it safe like Brooks, perhaps even Rahm? You have to assume Rahm will be a little bit more aggressive as he will likely be a chaser. Or do you want guys who are going to go fire at every flag? Just every flag, just say, fuck it. I got nothing to lose. Let's just go fire out and get you seven birdies. Because there's a very good chance that a guy who will be cost right around the same as Brooks Koepka will get seven birdies tomorrow and finish in, let's say, 10th place. And Brooks Koepka will get two birdies tomorrow and win and will get outscored by 10 to 15 points. That is a very, very likely thing to happen. Now, the key is you got to go find that guy that's going to get the seven birdies, right? And you have to have the stones to not have, like, FOMO about, oh, my God, what about Brooks? What about Brooks, okay? Like, play the game. If you're playing cash tomorrow, okay, then go play Brooks. But if you're playing to win a GPP and you can block out half the motherfuckers just by fading one guy and just watching him play for par on every hole, I mean, you do you, boo. So, understand these points. These placement points are super, super overrated. Two birdies. Well, and the guaranteed placement points almost every person gets tomorrow basically cancels out anything Brooks would get if he does win this tournament, okay? Or maybe Brooks rolls in every 40-foot putt tomorrow and he does shoot a 7-under, but you go ahead and take that chance, okay? That's it. All right, let's talk contest selection. Not going to lie to you, DraftKings. You dropped the ball, you dickheads. You really dropped the ball. Not happy with my boys at DraftKings. I was super excited. I was going to get down in the weeds with some Sunday showdown. I love Sunday showdown at majors. I mean, there are just so many fish that play. I mean, literally, people are going to be making lineups that are dead before the tournament even starts, and they won't even know it. They'll be like, oh, today's the day, and they'll have no idea their lineup is literally 100% dead. 100% dead. Okay? So, what are the good contests? I mean, the big 25, the big one tomorrow, the whatever the fuck they call it, it sucks. It sucks. A third to first, and then look at that. Second place is only 35% of first. 10th place is 1/100th. Polly, tell them. I mean, what are you doing? Like, this just sucks. First of all, that's not a big enough contest for how popular round four is going to be. I guess they're scared about the overlay again because of the delay, but whatever. I mean, just whatever. You know, they can't even make the $100 single entries 50,000. I mean, it's just weak sauce, bro. Just weak sauce, weak sauce. The $5, which, you know, actually the $5 is pretty good. I'll probably play in the $5. It's a pretty solid structure. 10% to first. See, 10% of the prize pool. Half of second to first. And 10th place is 1/10. That's pretty good, bub. That's pretty good. The $200 single entries both look okay. The 250 4 max is back, but you know, that's out of the price range of most of you. If I'm playing $20 tomorrow, I'm looking at the $12 single entry. I'm looking at the $5 single entry. I'm looking at the $1 20 max. If you're playing $50, $60 tomorrow, I'm looking at the $3 20 max. I'm looking at contests like that. If I'm playing just $100, I really just tell you, go get a $100 single entry. It's the best thing you can do with your money. Because here's what you're going to do. You're going to go put four lineups in this, and if you're lucky, I mean, if you're lucky, one's going to min cash for a big $40. You're like, why do I always lose? Because you're playing dumb dick contests like this. That one lineup you put in this that min cashed probably would have won you like 200 over in the single entry, okay? That's why you lose, because you pick stupid contests, and then you put stupid lineups in those stupid contests, and you have no chance, okay? So, stay the hell out of this new guy. I know you're a new guy. You're watching this. You're like, I'm gonna try this showdown out because I'm enjoying the Masters. All right, well, I'm telling you, new guy, don't play in that contest, okay? I'll make you a deal. You max enter. You go put 150 lineups on that, which would be $3,750. I'll leave you the fuck alone. You put one less in there, you're a donkey dick. There you go. That's the truth. If you didn't come here for truth, you should probably click the fuck off now. All right, from there, where's my $10 18 max? Where's my $10? Wait, did they not put my baby in there? My car, wait. Am I for real right now? Am I drunk? My $10, 18 max, is it really not in there? Am I drunk? Oh, I got to be drunk. There's no way they'd do this to me. No way you would not do this to me, DraftKings. Not you. Okay, I'm really not even seeing it, but hopefully my $10, 18 max that is always there will be there, which I'm sure as shit not seeing it at the moment. Oh my God, I'm such a fucking moron. It's right there in front of my face. There you go. This is a great one. You're going to play $200 tomorrow. Get in this. Great balanced price structure. You can max enter it and not let other people have leverage on you. It's a great contest, right? That's what, you know, I'll be playing in that, probably the $5, and of course, all the higher dollar single entries. That's what I'm going to be playing in. That $25, I'll tell you what, if you see me in there with a lineup that is not that one that I'm sharing with all my contest winners from the thing this morning, which, by the way, thanks for showing up to the cut sweat this morning. If you see one of my lineups in there that's not one of those, you can give me a free kick in the nuts. Okay, if there's an overlay, that doesn't apply. And we all always chase an overlay. Okay, so there you go. That's contest selection. Let's get to talking about the stats. Before we do, hey, do me a favor. Come check out DGEN75.com. It is the fastest growing community in PGA DFS. There has to be a place that's not just the Walmart of DFS sites. It's not a tout site. A place that actually gives you a community, a place to learn how to play, and, you know, like the best tool in all of PGA, the Rosetta Stone, which my dumbass forgot to put up as a tab, but it gives you everything you need to know to get you ready to make good round three, round four showdowns, and, of course, week long. If that's something that interests you, I'm telling you, come check out the site. You won't regret it. Also, like and subscribe. The channel's growing. We're almost at 3,000. Help the big guy get there. Tell a friend, because you know YouTube ain't going to share my shit. All right, let's talk about some plays. You got to be careful reading too far into these stats right now, right? These stats are a little murky because a lot of these guys barely have any other round play over in round three so far. So the best thing you could really be doing, you want to play round four showdown. Okay, you really want to play round four showdown. There's two big strategies you need to do tomorrow. One, get your ass up and watch golf in the morning and see who is playing well. See who is ball striking and be tracking stats and looking at who is doing it, right? Like I told, and then the number two is go play some low-owned guys who nobody is playing. I told you today, go get on those plus three guys. If they make the cut, go get on them. Stallings, Horschel, Kim, or M are all threatening to break the slate for round three. All of them are going off at super low ownership because they were all plus three and nobody was waiting to the last minute to be sweaty tryhards and get their money in on guys that nobody was going to own. So tomorrow, you know, go find these guys that are down here that came off of a pretty subpar round. Nobody's going to play and watch. They're going to go out there. They're going to fire at every pin. They're going to shoot a minus four. They're going to get a birdie streak, and they're going to break the slate because scoring will be at a premium tomorrow, okay? And if you get one of those guys at 1% or 2% ownership, that's how you win. Those are the two most important things you can do. Go find those guys at the very bottom who nobody's going to play and who can go off because they don't give a shit. They're going to go get you those four, five, six birdies, a streak, and that's who's going to break the slate. And the other thing is watch and see who is ball striking in the morning and see if that, and then that will most likely carry over. Though I'm not saying most likely, they'll be more likely to carry over than guy who's playing like shit, okay? From there, this is always round four strategy, okay? This is what you do. You go look at all the guys in the top 10, and you basically say, you're going to, you know, it helps to have the winner, but it is not necessary. And I think at this point, really, there's only two guys that can win this. It's either going to be Rahm or Koepka. And if you wanted to make a rule that's, you know, I think the best thing to do is make a stand on one of them. I think that there's one of three ways to do this, okay? Well, there's only three ways to play this. If you're playing them both in a lineup, whatever. You can do that. I mean, maybe they'll both do great. It'll be some great duel, and they'll birdie it all the way home. I fucking doubt it, though. I think the best way to play this is you either have Brooks in your lineup and you fade Rahm, you have Rahm in your lineup and you fade Brooks, or you have the big old hairy nutsack and you fade them both. You don't put either one of them in there, and you just hope that a lot of people are birdieing and these guys just par at home tomorrow, because pars don't add up very quick at showdown, brother, but birdies do. I think that's the best way to play it. You can put both of them in there, but if you do that, you might as well go play cash, okay? From there, I think you want to have guys who can get these guys right here, 3 through T8 range. I think you want to have some of these guys included in your player pool. Why? Because, yes, if they have a good round, they're going to get you points for that, but they'll also get you these bonus points here, the 8.5 if they finish fourth, those 9 points for finishing third. So there's a lot of value in grabbing those guys, because not only will they be attacking and trying to go have a big round to maybe put a little pressure on the leaders, but they'll also back to you those third-place points, those fourth-place points. So I love these guys in this range, and these are guys you're going to want to include in your lineups. Not only in your player pool, but in your lineups. And when I say that, I mean, like, I would have a rule. When you're building your lineups, if you use an optimizer, which we will talk about in a minute, you want to have a rule that probably you want to have at least a minimum of two of these guys up here from T8 up in every single lineup. And I think it's pretty normal to have three of them in there too. I don't like to go 4, 5, or 6, because at that point you're basically just making the same lineup everybody else is, right? And if I've studied this week and week, the number one type of lineup that wins GPPs in round four are lineups that start with 2.7 guys in the top 10, which means basically they have three, sometimes they have two, occasionally they have four, and very occasionally they have one. Hardly ever do they start with 5 or 6 guys. If you build a lineup tomorrow and you can get all 6 guys that start in the top 10, you're going to be like, oh, this lineup's so good. And when the contest starts, you're going to be in first and you're going to feel so smart, and you're just going to watch your ass moonwalk all day because your lineup ain't got no chance at winning. Because I promise you, the winning GPP lineup tomorrow will have that guy like Sungjae is doing right now in round three, and they're just going to come from back here, they're going to go shoot that round, and you will literally be dead because the nuts play will have already boxed you out. They'll have all the same guys you have. They'll just have that one guy down there or those two guys down there that went off that you didn't have, and your lineup was dead before the contest even started. So I encourage you to have one or two of these slimy bastards down here that can go off and go shoot that -3 or -4, and you can get up at 1% ownership. That's what wins you a GPP. You know what doesn't win you a GPP? Having the courage to play Brooks Koepka. That's not going to win you a GPP, okay? That's the number one strategy. That has got to be your number one strategy. How many of these guys in the top 10 to play? I would not have all of them in my player pool, but I would have a good number of them, and I would set a rule to have at least two or three of them in every single lineup you make. At least two or three. And if you want to go four because you're a wiener, you go ahead. I'm not judging. It's your lineup. I don't give a shit who you play. All right, from there, I think the next thing you want to do is you want to jump right down here to the bottom, and you want to find what asshole can I play down here that nobody's going to play that could break the slate. Right off the top of my head, Dustin Johnson straight up quit on this round three, right? He just quit on it. He's done. But don't forget, he picked up 2 strokes on approach. So maybe you say, hey, maybe that asshole will go out there and it's Sunday and I'm just going to go shoot at pins. All right, that's Dustin, by the way, if you don't know. And he'll just go out there and roast the course because he's Dustin. He don't give a shit. Or, you know, I honestly think he doesn't remember anything past 24 hours anyways. So a guy like that, right? He's just having a terrible round. He could never do good tomorrow. Or he could, all right? You gotta be a lot of or he could tomorrow, okay? Some guy that's having a terrible round, he could never do good. Some dude who's straight moonwalking could never do good. Jordan Spieth just looks terrible out there. Look, he can't ball strike anymore. His magic beans ran out. He could never do good in round four. Or he could. It's the fucking Masters, and it's Jordan Spieth. Get out of here. So find one of those guys a big stud that can kind of sneak up, or go find some scrub from down here. Thomas Peters is a guy that will legit shoot a -4 tomorrow or a +12. You heard it here first, Bob. Okay, one of these guys down here, probably from these over par guys, Tigala, bounce back, Abraham Answer, Mito, Seamus Power, one of these assholes is going to break the slate tomorrow. I promise you, it happens every single Sunday, and you don't play any of these guys down here because they're not going to get you enough position points. That's why you always lose. That's why you've never won a GPP, because you're not making the kind of plays that it takes to win a GPP. So don't be afraid. I'm not telling you go play 4 of these guys in your lineup. I'm saying be open to your lineup always having at least one of these icky slapdicks in it, okay? And if you're really ballsy, you can get 2. From there, always look for guys on a good bounce back round. Who were some guys that were having terrible rounds out there, especially good players? We've already talked about Dustin with Spieth. I think Sam Burns, you know, oh, he did terrible day. He sucks. He could never do good. Okay. Tom Kim. Everybody played Shane Lowry today. He let him down. Go right back to him. Don't be afraid of it. Fleetwood playing like crap. Finau playing like crap. They could never do good tomorrow. Or they could. I'm just telling you. From there, you know how I like to do it. I always want to avoid guys coming off nuclear hot rounds. Fitz and Cantlay, Sungjae, all these guys. Now, these guys are an exception because they're really good players. And really good players can have 2 really good rounds in a row. But when if Chris Kirk, let's say he finishes -3. I ain't chasing a Chris Kirk -3 2 days in a row at the Masters. Let's say Gooch finishes, Scott Stallings would be even a better example. Let's say he finishes round 3 at -3. Not a chance in hell I am chasing a Scott Stallings -3 round 2 days in a row. Get out of here. All right. From there, you always go look at the stat that matters the most. It is approach. It is the one most correlated to success. You got to love the ball striking from my boy, Maximum Homa. Looking pretty good. Man, Dustin Johnson. I just can't believe that. He has the second best approach, yet he's 6 over. Incredible. Man, Matthew Fitzpatrick, ball striking like an SOB. Taylor Moore is out there throwing darts. I will warn you, there's no player at the Masters, and I will die on this hill. There's nobody, and I've been watching every single shot. There's nobody shooting at flags more than Taylor Moore. That guy don't give a fuck. He shoots at every flag. And if you're wanting birdies, you want guys shooting at flags. Tyrrell Hatton is another one of those guys tomorrow. He will fire every flag. He hates this course. He doesn't want to be here. He's a crabby little hunchback. So a guy like that I love, because he might shoot a 7 over. My lineup would be dead, or he could be the guy that breaks the slate because he doesn't give a shit. That's a possibility too, bruh. Anybody else? Siwoo. Siwoo's out there throwing a couple darts I've seen. Those are some guys I'm looking at. Next thing, did anybody just kill themselves off the tee? Mackenzie Hughes is actually scoring pretty decent if he quit hitting the ball like shit off the tee, but it is Mackenzie Hughes. I don't know if I count on that. Tony Finau, typically a really good off the tee player. So I don't know if, Cam Young, those are two right there that typically are very good off the tee players, and you think, oh, well, they could bounce back from that. Ryan Fox, a very good off the tee player, and he's having a bad day. Jason Day is having just a crap day. He could never do good tomorrow. He sucks. What a letdown. Or he could. He's week-long donkey chalk. It always gets there around 4. And then lastly, around the greens, is there anybody that just shitting it away? And remember, all these stats are only halfway marinated because they are only halfway through the round. Some of these guys still have 12 holes to play, so these stats are very, very not official, okay? And I don't want to look at event because I don't really give a shit what they did in round 1. Anybody kill themselves around the green? Dustin just killed himself everywhere. Let's just be honest. Abraham Answer could be sneaky. He could be sneaky. His round looked like it was going to get away from him, and then he started hitting some shots. He could be a sneaky one tomorrow. Mackenzie Hughes, once again, you know, he's pretty good around the greens. So, I mean, if he's going to continue to gain on approach, he doesn't mind rolling in some birds either. Mito Pereira, really good ball striking, terrible on and around the greens. Same with old Maximum Homa. Maximum Homa just strikes me as a guy that'll shoot a -5 tomorrow, and no one's going to play him because it'll be too price prohibitive to play a guy who's probably starting the round, I don't know, somewhere around T20, right? People aren't going to want to pay that kind of price, all right? So that is a ton of strategy. You have to factor in the points. You have to factor in how many of these guys do you want to have in your lineup. You have to factor in, am I going to get a sleeper in there? Who is a bounce back guy? You've got to play. If you're playing in a tournament that has any more than 1,000 people in it, you've got to make a point to make your lineups different. And you have to say, how is this lineup going to win this GPP? Because if you're not thinking, how am I going to win a GPP? If you're not willing to be first or last in this GPP, just know you'll always, always be somebody that loses. You'll never win. And you shouldn't play GPPs if you're not willing to go down in flames, okay? And the only way you can do that is play some guys that are a little icky, okay? Be willing to make a big fade on Rahm or a big fade on Brooks or a big fade on both of them, okay? Play to win the game. Don't play to pay the rake. If you pay the rake, the one thing I can guarantee is over time you will 100% lose. That is the one thing I can guarantee you. Because the house always wins. And in this little analogy, DraftKings is the rake, mother father. All right, if you need some help with making better lineups, you make good player pools, but you can't make the best lineup, use this right here. It is called The Solver. It is the best optimizer out there. Not to mention, even better than it being a great optimizer, which will optimize your player pool, it comes with my projections that I personally make for all of my members and ownership. So you can use my projections and help you make better forms of your player pool and do it. All the success I've had this year, every single one of those lineups has been built on this optimizer. All the ones I got done today after the stream, I was able to go over here, do the player pool I wanted, and in 10 minutes get perfectly optimized versions of my lineups, which are in there, which last I checked on Cut Sweats, I have some pretty good sweats going into round 3. So let's see what old Scott Stallings can do for me. If you want to do it, I can't afford a $100 optimizer. Don't worry, bro. $25 a month. Simply use my landing page. You see that showdown hoedown symbol up there? Make sure to use it, and you will get connected to all my projections, all my ownership, okay? Those good round 4 scores historically, Justin Rose, Sahith Theegala, Tommy Fleetwood, and Sepp Straka. Historical good round 4 scores. Why do I care about that? Because any guy who scores well on round 4 over a sustained period of time tells me one thing. They go for flags on Sunday, and they're going out there to score, you mother father. So those are some guys that I will be looking at because they are good round 4 scores. Why did I play Chez Reavie last Sunday? Simple. He was playing terrible, but he has a good round 4 score. And I thought, you know what? If this little hobbit, he can figure it out. Sorry, Harmon. If this, if Pip, the other Hobbit, can be a good round 4 scorer, why can't he do it for me? And he broke the slate last Sunday. He was the nuts play last Sunday simply just because he was a good round 4 scorer. All right, lastly, over on Underdog, as I told you, you got to remember this weather. And looking at this weather tomorrow, I'm gonna see how it plays in the morning. I'm going to see how they finish round three, because however it plays in round three is almost exactly how it's going to play in round four. And I would say, if they are still struggle busing in the morning, I would be smashing overs on strokes and unders on birdies. Not to mention, Augusta loves to give some tough flags on Sunday, so I think you're going to see a lot of bogeys and even a couple double bogeys, okay? Yes, they do set up a couple holes for nice birdies and eagle chances, but I wouldn't count on it in these conditions. So watch in the morning. If you see them continue to be playing two and a half strokes over par, you go smash the overs on strokes and you smash the unders on birdies. That's what I'll be playing as my pick'ems on Underdog. I hope this helps you guys. I hope you subscribe. I hope you turn on the notifications. I hope to see you Monday for my new course preview show. Who have I become? Guy in the back? I think that's it. But one last time, guys, let's enjoy this outro.